morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is from Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is God's word. Thank you.
I don't know. What do you reckon? Do you reckon this building's in good shape? You know, I heard a rumour that it was up for sale. I tell you, it's not going to sell. Look at the age of it. It's just, I don't know, it's old-fashioned. It's out of date. You've probably even got stained glass windows somewhere. Who knows? But the real test, is it plumb? I don't mean plump. I mean plumb. Do you know what plumb means? Plumb means, is it straight? Now, if I was to hold this up here, against this wall, I could say it looks pretty plumb, but how do I know this steak is plumb? I don't. So what we use is a plumb line. Now, I've been sent here to check out the state of the building to see if it really is plumb. So if I use this, according to the scientists, always go to gravity. So if I actually turn it over like this, it will always go back to the centre because it's held by gravity. So I can actually hold this up against the wall, and when it stops moving, this is a more accurate test. This could be bent, but this plumb line says whether or not this building is plumb, whether or not those walls are straight. So, I don't know, West Ryde Community Church, you know, it's pretty sound. I think my report will say, yes, it's plumb. But how does this work? Dorothy, where are you? Dorothy, can you come up here? I always choose someone who won't be happy. So, Dorothy, I want you to stand over here. I don't know if this building is plumbed. Did you hear that noise? So now what you've got to do is with one eye, you close one eye, and with the other eye, I want you to line it up with this piece of string, the plumb line, until it's in plumb. Okay.
According to my eye.
According to your eye. Well, it's according to this, actually. So just move it away. No, just at an angle. And then bring it up again. Right away. Yep, good work. Now, come up. Okay. Thank you for that, Dorothy. You know, I'll pay you later, okay? It's all right. Okay, that's a plumb line. Now, what God did was God held up a plumb line against the people of Israel. And God holds up a plumb line against you and I. Now, Josh, since you're staying in here, do you think you could? Yeah, I'll just nod or do something to let you move it on for me. I just can't multi-skill always. And today's one of those days. Okay, so over the past week, I actually went round the streets looking to see if buildings were plumb. And they all seemed pretty much in line. I didn't take the plumb line, but from standing looking at, like if you look at the shops over the road, you can see that they're all pretty much plumb. There's a classic building. If we look at the first slide, here's someone using a plumb line to build a brick wall. I was told that bricks weren't held together by mortar. The mortar was there just to position them so that they could put the next one. How it's held up is the weight and how the structure is actually assembled, not so much the concrete or the mortar that goes between the bricks. But there's a classic example where we see something's not plumb. Now, it was plumb, but it is no longer plumb because of the foundation. Here's another example. Is it plumb? Is it plumb? Okay, next slide then, hey? Yeah. So the building's plumb, but the road... Here's the building and here's the road and the cars are parked. But how the photographer has lined up the photo, it looks as if the building's out of plumb when in reality it's the road that varies. Right. And the next one. So here's God holding up a plumb line against the people of Israel. Now, they weren't good from sun up to sundown every day. They did all sorts of things that disappointed God. They turned their back on God. They returned to God. God sent them away. All sorts of things happened because they weren't aligned to the standards that God had set. Now, what happens is that God said to them, because you have disobeyed, there are consequences. And because we disobey, there is consequences for us. We've only lived a few hours this morning since we got out of bed. But how many of us have gone against God's standards and the laws that he set? How many of us have been influenced by the world? Have we gone back then to the standards of God? Or have we stayed over here thinking, it's okay, it doesn't matter that I cut that person off as I was driving here. It doesn't matter that in McDonald's I didn't pay for that second shake. And what we're trying to do over here is keep God's standards and manipulating them to us, not allowing God's standards for us to be compared against to see if we're in line with God's standards. How do you shape up? There's an amazing difference in these buildings. You've got the brick wall where the plumb line is straight. And that is a person who is living with the standards of God. Now, what are these standards? These standards are God's word. We heard in the Bible reading, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those plus things like the Ten Commandments. The new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. But we became crooked and out of whack with Adam and Eve because sin came into the world. But that does not mean that we live with a plumb line that is crooked. Yet there's sin in the world. But what happens is Dorothy, when she moved that stake over again and I said to bring it back in line, it didn't happen, bang, we're in line. It gradually came back. She kept checking to see if it was in line. When we sin and we do things wrong, we need to come back to God's standards. We need to come back to God's law. We need to come back in line with God's expectations of us. Now, it won't happen overnight. Bang, we're back in line. It's a gradual thing. And it might mean that the next time you're going to Macca's, you do pay for that next shape. And the next time you go, you mightn't pay for the fries. But eventually we will get to the point where we live according to the standards. And the more we do it, the straighter we become. And we become in line so that when we go off centre, okay, it will happen, we then can come back and be centred up. Okay, well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. It's you and I, precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are to be a holy priesthood. Be aligned with the standards of God as his people. And then in Luke we read, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Solid foundation, the word of God. Our lives are built on the word of God. A rock foundation that was plumb in line with the walls. But reading on, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on a ground without foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is pretty dismal. If we've built our lives, this spiritual dwelling that God is building on a solid foundation, we will remain strong against temptation and all those things that come against us. If we build our house on sand, and the minute someone comes up and says, hey, you know, let's go into Macca's and see what we can get, we're tempted. We're on a foundation that is made of sand. We're not strong. We don't continually go back to, what does the word of God say? Does it say to lie and cheat and rob and steal? Or does the word of God say, no, live according to my standards, to live according to the way that Jesus lived? Pretty dismal stuff. We're told to be a royal priesthood and to have our foundation on a solid foundation of rock, or there will be consequences. The only person that could measure up to God's plumb line is Jesus. Each of us is constructing this spiritual building, and God has a plan of righteousness that is precise. It's not sloppy. It's not, shade of grey. It's black and white the standards. You do or you don't at this point in time. The plumb line is for our spiritual lives is the Word of God. It's a standard to which we must align. Each time you come to church or spend time studying the Bible, we're putting that plumb line before us. We're reading what the Bible says, and we need to check, am I in sync with what the Bible is saying? When you come to church and you hear the Word of God and you meet with others, are you hearing the standard that God has set in the plumb line? Now, this isn't a standard that's been set by Westride Community Church. It's not a standard that you set yourself. I mean, I could set standards and boy, would I have fun. But God's standards are standards that are whole and righteous and add to me being built into the person that God wants me to build. Society, your family, your parents, they don't set the standards. Sure, parents and church and different people have regulations that we need to fit in with, but they're not the standards that God is talking about. God is talking about His word that does not change, His word, and how do I stack up against that? The temptation is to compare ourselves with one another, yet we are asked to compare ourselves to the Word of God. If we look at this verse in 2 Corinthians, we read, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We want to compare ourselves to the standards that are established in Scripture. And that is why we need to be aligned with God. And we are when we compare ourselves to the standards and then live according to those standards. The Christian standard, the Bible, is not just for the people of Israel. It's for the people of Westride Community Church. Do not be deceived by thinking that the standards of God were just for that bygone era. The Word of God is relevant today, just as relevant as it was back then. And that God's standards cannot change because God, the one who put it in place, changes not. The standards are there. Now, if I was to sit you down and go through and say, okay, here's a self-check, and I did actually print off a self-check that you can get online that sort of says, how do you stack up with the fruit of the Spirit? And I went through it and I did the test and it wasn't pretty. Went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago in Nowra of a friend who's my age who died of motor neurone. And his kids in the eulogy said that their father, who's an ex-missionary from Africa, actually would sit the kids down about once every couple of years and say, this is the fruit of the Spirit I think you need to work on. And in the eulogy, they're talking about how they were challenged by their father to continue to line themselves up and say, how do I compare? How am I shaping up? What do I need to work on so that I am in line with the Word of God? In 1 John 3:9 we read, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Billy Graham reckons that we can be perfect. I've read a lot about Billy Graham lately since he died, and this is one thing that he kept saying. You can be perfect. What it means is that we can, with God's enabling, be perfect. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as perfect. And how we live, if we continue to challenge ourselves and line ourselves up with the Word of God, we can be perfect. Those who are born of God do not sin. I'm born of God. I do sin. So what do I do about that? I keep looking at the Word of God and saying, what do I need to change? How can I line myself up with the word of God and the standards. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy, for I am holy. You can be holy. But are we trying to be holy? Are we really trying to be the person that God wants us to do? Now, it might seem that these standards are too high, so why even try? But the bottom line is, it's not too high with God's enabling and God's help. It's almost like we continue to pick ourselves up in God's strength and to realign. We will go back. If we are in line and we are tossed about by the world or somebody else, if we are true to the standards of God, we will become plumb again with his standards. Okay, so here's the test. In the fruit of the Spirit, love. How do you shape up? Are you loving the people who really don't deserve to be loved? Here's the question. Am I motivated to do for others as Christ has done for me? Or am I giving in order to receive something in return? Am I motivated to love? Or do I do it because of what I get in return? Joy. Am I experiencing a joy of life on a regular basis? Or is my happiness dependent on things going smoothly in my day? Joy. Regardless of a good day or a bad day, is there joy in your life? Peace. Now, peace is not the absence of turmoil. It's the presence of tranquility, of calmness and peace in a situation that may not be peaceful. Do I find myself frazzled, tearing my hair out by the crashing waves of turmoil and upset that's in my life? Or am I experiencing the peace that passes all comprehension? Do I know that peace, or am I tossed about? Patience. Am I easily set off when things go wrong or people irritate me? Or am I able to keep a godly perspective in the face of life's irritations? Patience. This is my biggest test, patience. I have high expectations of myself, and I have high expectations of others. But sadly, it is my weakest link. Patience. What's your patience like? Kindness. When kindness is at work in a person's life, it looks like they can adapt and go for the benefit of the other person. Here's the question. Is it my goal to serve others with kindness, or am I focused on my own needs, desires or problems, and let the goodness of God overflow to others? What is preoccupying you? Is it the kindness for others, or for how your needs can be met, or how you, in a sense, can change? Because it's number one, you is what needs to be benefited from. Goodness. The question is, does my life reflect the holiness of God? And do I desire to see others experience God at a deeper level in their own lives? Do I reflect the holiness of God and have a desire to see others experience God at a deep level? Faithfulness. Are you a hypocrite? Is my life characterized by my faith in Christ and my faithfulness to him and those around me? Am I faithful? Or do I say yes at church on Sunday and then live a life that doesn't reflect that? Am I faithful in my commitment to God and serving him? Gentleness. Do I come across to others as brash and headstrong? Or am I allowing the grace of God to flow through me to others? Self-control. Are my personal desires controlling my life? Or am I allowing the Spirit to direct me to the things that please God and serve others? Self-control. What have I control of? My own desires, or am I trying to control others so that my desires are met? Or am I allowing the Spirit of God that dwells within those of us who follow Jesus to be the one that controls and centres our life? Tough questions. Are you aligned with the standards and the Word of God? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you're a God of love, and that grace fills you. And Lord, I pray for each one of us as we compare ourselves to your word, and as we look at the things in your word that tell us to live in accordance with the way that Jesus lived, we need your grace, we need your forgiveness, and we need your help to do that. Father, I pray that we will continue to look at your word, continue to ask that hard question of how do we stack up? Are we aligned to your word? And Lord, I pray then that you'll give us the wisdom and the courage to change and to seek to be like you and to realign ourselves with your word. Father, we love you. We desire to serve you with all our heart. We pray that you'll help us to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.